Something for the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits. It's Trina Mara here. Now, the 14th of February 1981, a date so many people can remember, particularly if you lived in Dublin. You probably remember the sirens at the time, the night of the Stardust fire. And on the line, we've got Lisa Lawler. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Hey, Trina. Great to talk to you.
So a night that completely and utterly changed your life, in that you were 17 months old at the time and your parents decided to go to the Stardust. Where were you living at the time, Lisa?
We were living in Finglas, up Finglas West, and they just decided to go out, and they didn't go out back in the day, like they didn't go anywhere. But this night they just decided to go, and that was it.
I heard it was a particularly special night because obviously being Valentine's Day, everyone was kind of, there was a load of people going, and people used to go to the Stardust from all around Dublin, from Colester, from Artane, from Finglas, from particularly Northside, I guess, and it was a great night. So on that tragic night, we all know what happened, that terrible fire, the doors were locked, your parents were in there and they died in the fire.
They did, the two of them died. My father got out of the fire, but unfortunately went back in to try to save my mother, and that was the end then. He died. The two of them died that night.
So you were just 17 months old at the time. Were you their first child, yeah?
Yeah, I was the first child and the only one. Yeah, I was. And I was only a baby, hadn't got a clue what was going on around me, you know. And the fire happened, and I was going up to live with me mother's mother, Elizabeth and Paddy Farrell, and she died 3 weeks later, broken heart, so she couldn't mind me anymore. So my father's family took me over to Remy, his mother and father.
God, the grief really just took hold. Did she have any, did your granny have any health problems that they said killed her, or was it the grief?
Oh no, just grief. She's only 54. She just died of a broken heart, basically. So I've heard of people saying it before, but it really resonates with me because you can die of a broken heart, because my nanny did.
So your parents, oh, this is so tragic. So how old were your parents at the time?
23 and 25. God. And they're just a young couple in love, the norm, you know, out for a few drinks. I mean, we've all did it. Like, when you think of how quick life can change. I lost my identity within the space of a couple of minutes. I was Lisa going to bed. And when I woke up the next morning, I was Stardust baby. And that never left me. I'm still that. And I'm 41. Tragic, you know.
Oh, and Lisa, so your mother's mother died, and then you went to live with your father's parents.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, such a big thing for them to take on as well, because I'm sure their child-rearing days were done. Yeah, they weren't expecting to have a baby.
No, and they took me on. My grandmother was an absolute lady. And she was lovely, like, it took me on to ring me. It wasn't without its problems, you know, because the grief, it didn't only affect me. It affected everybody around me and affected everybody around that knew or that was family, my father. Mm. So, and my mother, it devastated the whole family. So I was in the middle, like as I said in the book, it was like throwing a hand grenade into two Dublin families. It just exploded. And then I was there 7 days, barely able to walk. Mm. That's where it took off. It was just absolutely devastating.
And at what age were you aware that you didn't have parents?
I was always crying, like, as a baby. And I, like, when somebody says, do you remember? I don't remember them. And I don't remember the first while. But I remember, like, or whatever, the chaos kind of around me, you know. And you know the way when you kind of get used to talking, like, say, and I'd be listening, like adults would be talking over you. I don't think you thought I wasn't there, as you forget I was there. And I used to soaking it all up. I remember my first day at school, my grandmother, I kept saying, where's Mammy? And she said, she's not coming back. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, she's gone to heaven with Daddy. And she was broken, in pieces, this woman was, roaring and crying. And I kept saying, oh, she has to be back, because I didn't think heaven was forever. And it was, unfortunately, they didn't come back. And that was the beginning of the grief for me. And to this day, I'm still grieving. Mm.
And I suppose like the first day in school, it's such a moment for families and seeing their little girl go off to school for the first time. It must have been really tough for your grandmother as well, though, you know, knowing that your parents were missing out on that.
And, oh God,
and their
no
grief,
doubt.
They were trying to deal with their grief as well.
Yeah. And you see, like she was walking in with me and I just remember like she was always wore loads of rings and they were kind of clinking together and she was holding my hand and she couldn't stop crying. Like I realised that day how broken this woman was. Like she was smashed from the inside out. You could see it. And she just kept crying and her little soft curly hair and saying to me, "You're going to be okay, Lisa. This is your teacher." And the teachers and all were, you know, high alert. "Oh, this is Lisa." Yeah. And like they knew already that I was going to be a hard case, if you know what I mean. Like it was devastating. And my grandmother was walking away and I was going ballistic. And it really affected me. But that was, I remember that like very clearly. And I remember saying, "This is it now. They're never coming home."
I guess in school as well, Lisa, you know, when things like Mother's Day comes around and Father's Day and the kids are making cards and that for their mum and dad.
Oh, I know. And you know what I used to hate? You know the way these text messages that come in, "Don't forget your flowers and your..." And I hate Valentine's Day anyway, and I never took a card in my life. I don't celebrate. It's just another day to me, but it's a sad day. But you'd be making Mother's Day cards and I'd be running home and I'd be giving it to my grandmother, scribbled all over it. I mean, you know yourself. And she constantly was crying. And then I started not making eye contact with her for years. I never kind of looked her in the eye. Because when I looked at her, she'd start crying. And I was small, so I kept saying, every time she looks at me, she cries, so it must be me. But it was only later on I realised I must have been such a reminder, constant reminder of what was gone. That's what happened, you know. It caused huge... huge sadness, I have to say.
Did you look like your mum or your dad, Lisa?
A lot of people ask me that. I think I look like the two of them. My mother's family sent the image of my mother. My father's family sent the image of my father. And a lot of people that see pictures says I'm like the two of them. So, yeah, I'd say I go on a bit like my mother, but I definitely look like the pair of them, yeah. Sadly missed, you know.
Your grandparents lived in inner city Dublin, so you grew up in the 80s, and I know you've done this book, Stardust Baby, to almost put this to bed, isn't it? Because it's not that you want reminding of this tragic time in your life all the time, but it's good to get it down on paper, because I assume like in the 80s there was no such thing as counselling for children who went through something
so
tragic.
Nobody, like there was no such thing as, not nowadays, different, but back then there was nothing. I grew up always like real nervous, Nan might die. It was horrific, like I have to say. So what I needed to do then, kind of when I grew up, I started my own therapy and I'm still in it like to this day. It'll never leave me, the grief. You kind of just have to recognise it and move on. Like if it wasn't for support from the Rape Crisis Centre and from the National Family Support Network, my beautiful friend Sadie Grace, I just don't know where I'd be. You have all this support, but you didn't have this years ago. I have it now, so the grief kind of, it'll never go, but it kind of subsides every now and again with these organisations. We need them.
And like, you didn't know your parents because they died when you were so young. It's almost like, you know, when kids are adopted, they don't know what they're missing out on because they never knew the biological parents. But did you feel in your heart that something was missing?
Yeah. Yeah, you see, and because they loved me so much, the loss was there. And you see, Stardust, they died so tragically and they so wanted to come home to me. I mean, my father went back in to get my mother to come home. But they just adored me, really and truly. And then they were just cut short. And there's a hole in my heart that will never be filled. People used to say to me, "Why are you crying? Like, you didn't know them." I did, because they made me. And because they loved me so much and they were so doted on me, that made it even harder. And they were so young and my mother had kind of a bit of trouble having kids and then she had me and she was taken away. And it's kind of, it's unthinkable.
It's so unfair, really. To think that your dad got out, he obviously thought that he'd be able to get your mum out to have gone back
There's no doubt in my mind that he thought that going back in, that he was just going to pull her out and we were going to live grand. Like, there's no doubt there. But at the same time, I just say to him, "Oh God, split second decision and his life was taken." So Like, he obviously thought he was, you know, when you're not thinking, like, as I said.
Yeah, you just act rather than thinking about the consequences.
He acted,
yeah.
But, yeah, he didn't think. And you see, at the end of the day, I said it before, he died for it. And it's an awful, awful shame.
God, they were mad about each other, obviously, were they?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, they were styled to the head to toe, like they were gorgeous, beautiful couple. But always well-dressed, well-groomed, and I was always in the best, you know. They were just so much in love. And then I used to wonder, you know, like at the end of the day, we went out together, and I suppose if one of them came home, it would have been the last of the other one. So
true, yeah. You
have to just think of it like that, you know.
Yeah,
God love
you. You'd never get over it. So you grew up with your grandparents then in the inner city, and I know you touch on this in the book. It wasn't an easy time in the 80s in inner city Dublin. It was right in the midst of the heroin epidemic. Did drugs come to your family?
Oh, God, yeah. There was a couple of my father's children on drugs, you know, or siblings. It was very hard, because the drugs took over. And I used to say to myself, God, if the Stardust didn't happen, would he be on drugs? Mm. You know, it was a very hard time. And that kind of stayed with us. And it still sticks with me now. I just still say, God loved them. Because the pain they must have been in. You see, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
I was only small, but they did, you know. And it was very hard, I have to say, yeah.
So you remember your uncles and that grieving during that time?
Yeah, and the ones that are still alive, they're still grieving. We all are. Very hard. This happened, like, this happened overnight, Trina. Like, it didn't happen in a week, or this happened in a few minutes, and to be whipped away and never seen again, you see, they were that bad, obviously, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you even let your mind start wondering, is it them? Where did they go? Did they run off? Like, what's going on? But yeah. God loved them. I mean, yeah, they were all grieving, and it was just terrible. Yeah.
Have you ever felt throughout the years that they're trying to give you a sign, or they're trying to reach out to you in some way? Are you spiritual like that?
No doubt. Yeah, I'm very spiritual. I said this on the late night, because you were definitely with me then, because I'm very nervous. But definitely, the presence of them, like, I'll probably never win the lotto, more than likely not. And I'm real lucky, you know, like, I got John, Craig came to me, I had my own children. I kind of always land where I'm supposed to be, and I do put that down to my two parents. Believe it or believe it not, I really do. Like, I'm grand, I have my health, I'm fine. Everything happens for a reason, Trina, and you wonder, the good, the bad, and the ugly happens for a reason. But I'd have this inner sense of, like, when I get a gut feeling, it's real. It's real. Like, I know. When I get a gut feeling, I say, oh, that's it. Mm. It's like science, I get. Yeah, I do.
And when you were growing up then, Lisa, you know, it was obviously quite difficult. Your grandparents weren't expecting to have to rear a child at the age that they were at. Some family members had gotten involved in drugs. Everybody was grieving. I mean, an absolutely horrendous time for the family. Did you feel you missed out in any ways in terms of, I mean, did you get a good education or go to work, or did you feel you missed out in any way?
Yeah, I do, but I don't feel kind of it was them. I came and it was just, oh, Lisa, 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 because I was only a baby. And then, no, I never concentrated in school, and I just never wanted to be there. I ran out of the place at the time, so I didn't care about school. I just always wanted to be at home with Nan, making sure she was okay, you know, making sure that nothing has happened to her. And I did miss out, you see, but I missed out. That wasn't only from then. I missed out from when I was a baby. The rug was pulled from under my feet. I was barely able to walk. So from the start, it destroyed me. From day one, this tragedy has just ripped my life apart. So now I hope with the book, I hope to close that.
Yeah.
And I hope to be able to close the book and say, right, the first part of my life was blighted with Stardust. The second part is, we're going to get this. We're going to do this. I am okay. I'm fine. So I just want to close the book now and kind of move on.
Tell me about your family life now, Lisa. Are you married? You have children yourself. Tell me about that.
Yeah, no, I'm not married. I have three children. Craig, he's nearly 19. I fostered him when he was one.
So you fostered him? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And Frankie is 10. And Lennon is 7. So I have a great little set up here with the kids. Well, apart from homeschooling and COVID, but yeah. I'm just talking in general. They're brilliant kids. They're very good. So I've no problems with them. Like,
okay.
Craig is off here dressing, great child. So it's brilliant. You know, everything has all worked out for me. It's just great.
Yeah. Who's John then? You mentioned John.
I met John when I was 17 and he was a lot older than me. I speak about John extensively in the book. John was sent to save me. There's no doubt in my mind. He's still here today, like, to mind me. We're separated now for 7 years, but okay. He's still here. You know, John takes care of me, minds me, makes sure I'm okay. And he's great for the mental health. Like, he's a great support to me, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah. So you became a foster mum at a very young age yourself then?
Yeah. Yeah, I was only young when I took Craig because I just seen him and he was putting his arms up to me and it was really kind of bizarre. And then I fostered him, his mother took sick and I fostered Craig. And I have to say, I don't think he realises it. He saved me and I saved him. Uh-huh. I think that's the way I look at that, you know.
Yeah, I actually heard Joe Biden being interviewed and he was talking about, I don't know if you know the story, but his first wife was killed in a car crash and so
yeah,
was his daughter.
Yeah.
And he had two other sons who were in the car crash, but they survived. And he talked about how he would get up every morning and he did a 4-hour commute to work and back. And he always made sure that he stayed at home with the children. He was there every morning for them to get up and put them to bed. And he always says that they saved him. He didn't save them. And that's what got him through. Yeah.
Oh, God. Trina, if I have to be totally honest with you, there's no doubt of a shadow in my mind that Craig didn't save me. It's in the book. I wasn't in a good place at all. And he kind of came to me when I didn't care whether I stayed in this world or not. And the minute Craig came, I said, this is my calling. I really, really did. So he's right in what he says. He is dead. And people used to say to me, Trina, oh, you'll be blessed. Oh, you're very good. And I used to kind of look at them and say, what's your answer?
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I used to say, he saved me. Don't mind me saving him.
But, so you must have been only in your early 20s then, were you, Lisa, when you took Craig?
I was in my early 20s
and
when
others,
I took Craig.
Other people
yeah.
probably said, are you mad? You could be out partying and all the rest.
Oh, do you know what? Everyone was saying to me, ah, oh, you're mental. Like, I remember, and even I'm talking about friends, close friends. Oh, you're mad. You're crazy. My family, ah, oh, you're mad, you're mental, you're this, you're that. I get that anyway off them. But they were saying, oh, God, Lisa, no, I wouldn't be able now. Like, and I remember a few people, you know, when you foster, there's a risk of them going back to... To the mother, you know. And I remember people saying, oh Jesus, no, I couldn't do that. But deep down in my heart, if she would have got well and he would have went back, sure, I could have still seen him and I, you know.
Yeah.
But I took him to rear him to make sure that he was okay. He's a great child.
Yeah, it was about him, not about you, I guess.
It was about him. It was definitely not about me. It was about Craig and getting him through his education and all the little milestones, you know. And he was my little pal, like he's my best friend now. I'd have him mentor to do me here. And he's a great young flea, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great. Like,
and isn't that funny then that you took him when he was one and your grandparents took you when you were one as well?
Yeah, it was like history repeating itself. Both of us were one. And I remember looking at Craig. I would you believe, Trina, I took him when he was 17 months.
You didn't. Oh my
around
God.
About that time. So I'm talking, when I say spiritual, I mean these things do not happen by accident.
No.
I've said that for a long time. They don't.
There was another couple, actually. I sound like I watch telly. I do nothing else but watch telly. But I remember seeing another couple on Oprah, Lisa. And they had 3 children. So they had a boy and 2 girls. And the mother went and brought them to some fun fair one day. And on the way home, a truck crashed into them and unfortunately the children died.
Oh.
A year to the, and they didn't know whether the mother survived, but they didn't know whether she'd be able to walk again. A year to the day after the accident, she gave birth to triplets, a boy and 2 girls.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and like people do think, you'd be half afraid to tell people you're a spiritual as you are in case you think you're a witch or a ghost or something.
Or you're mad,
honestly, yeah, you're mad, people would be saying. Loads of things happened to me that, to be honest with you, I don't know how they happened. Meeting John, it was complete fluke. And for the last 25 years, he hasn't left me side. Getting Craig, living life, writing the book, I'd say as well. Like 10 years ago, I was to write this book, Trina.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember jotting down a couple of bits and I said, ah, no, not the time. Because it wasn't the time. the time was in January last year, because I knew halfway into the book that Craig would be 18 and I could mention him and all. I wouldn't have been able 10 years
ago. Right, okay, yeah.
Because he was in care. So, you see, all this stuff put together, it's not a coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. I am a firm believer in it.
Lisa, was it hard then, because obviously you were so young when Stardust happened, to be able to write a book, was that hard for you because you needed to get a lot of information that maybe you didn't know, and then you're delving into it again and the grief will probably hit you again?
Yeah, it was hard. Therapy is hard, and writing a book is like therapy. There's no shortcut for grief. That's one thing if I tell anyone. You can't rush grief and you can't suppress it either. You need to take it out, recognise it. And I put the grief I had in my soul onto the pages of this book. There's no doubt in my mind. I was sitting there last night and I was just looking around the house. Now, I live here 2 years, like, and I was like, God, the pain is a little small bit easier because I took the pain out and I put it onto the pages of the book.
Yeah.
And I just looked around and thought, God, I'm feeling good. And I haven't said that in a long time, Trina.
Yeah, yeah.
In a long time, I haven't said that.
But like, you made something of your life, Lisa, and a lot of people will say how hard for her, you know, she didn't have parents there to guide her through.
I'm overwhelmed with the support from everybody as well. And I'm very proud of myself. And you see, loads of people can say that, but you have to believe it. Words are words. But I said it to myself last night, and I was sitting there, and again, the spiritual thing, I said, I'm real proud of you. Something I put myself while I'm watching the late late. And I remember saying to myself, oh God, I mean this. You know, I used to say that in front of people. Oh, I'm real proud of you. I'm grand now. And you see, you do say that when you're riddled in anxiety. No, don't be worried about me. I'm grand. But I was sitting there last night and I was like, actually, I am grand. And I'm well proud.
Because your whole life, Lisa, people probably said, oh, that's the girl. That's the girl who lost her parents in the Stardust.
Yeah, the whispers.
It was like a label,
yeah.
Was it?
It was like a label. You're kind of this unwelcome celebrity, you know, for laughs. Like people at the home after night in the pub and say, they're not going to believe who was there.
No way.
And I used to find this kind of bizarre because I'm certainly not a celebrity and I never was. It's because of the fire was so big and I was so small. Everybody just wanted to know me. But hopefully now, like when I close this book, I close that part of my life and I start the second half. Save the best for last, I say, you know.
Yeah.
I do.
And Lisa, did you find then over the years, did people talk to you about it or do they tend to try and ignore it, you know, ignore the elephant in the room?
Well, there was loads of elephants in the room that people ignored at me. If you read the book, you'll know. Yeah, like Stardust, it was always in hushed tones. It was spoken. If you have to whisper something, it makes it scary. So now, like, I'm open with my own kids. They do run in with my glasses on and say, Lisa from the Stardust. It's not scary to them. I don't want them to be scared of it the way I was. I told them it was a terrible tragedy. They do not make light of it. I wouldn't say that. But they know now where Nanny and Grandad went and how I am. You know, there's no need to be scared of it. That's the worst thing you can be.
Do you ever worry, Lisa, about fires or anything like that? Does that ever give you nightmares?
Yeah, every place I go into, I look for the exit first. And I won't tell anyone I'm doing it. I have to go to the toilet. If I go into a new restaurant, I find the toilet and I find the exit. It's a habit and it's instilled into me. And I hate going down anywhere, downstairs. I don't like them places that you have to travel down. I'd rather be on the ground in case I couldn't get back up or something. It's something that's inside me. I think either survivor of a fire or anyone like me would do the same. But I wouldn't say, like if I go for a meal with John or whatever, I won't say, okay, I'm just running down to see where the egg is. I just say nothing. I'm sure he knows. But yeah, I do. And the terror of a fire, like I plug everything out in the house before I go to bed, which means it takes me 20 minutes to light the house up in the morning or whatever, but I can't. I don't need to charge up plugged in. My phone is constantly dead. I stayed awake last night to charge my phone for today. And then I plugged it out. I'm very fire aware. I don't like fire and I hate seeing the fire because I can jump, like it frightens me. When something like this happens, it's kind of, it's in your soul.
And I'd say with your children, even, you know, in the house as well, you're probably thinking, God, if there was a fire, what way would we get out?
I hate the switch plugged in. You know, the switches to Nintendo. I hate when they plug that in and they're on their own. I go upstairs and keep checking. fires, I hate the mention of them, but I make the kids fire away. There's the door, there's the window, you know, if there's ever a problem, mom is gone, quite fainted or anything. I do always tell the kids that 999 straight away. They're very aware. They learn it in school as well, you know.
And Lisa, have you been back to that site at all in Artain?
Yeah. I remember driving by it a few times and would you believe I'd rather go the long way. I don't like that place. Last year we had a commemoration with the service committee there and it gave me this feeling like of such a heavy heart and dread, you know. I didn't want to be there. But you kind of have to do these things. It's like kind of facing the fear, you know. Like I was standing there and I just thought I'd never get out of the place and it made it worse, Trina. It was absolutely freezing cold. So you can imagine. And that was exactly the time, like 39 years ago, that this happened. So it was freezing cold and dread and it's just not a good place to go by. I shiver every time I go by it. I don't like the place at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have to go there to mark it, you know. You're marking the anniversary of the worst thing that ever happened in your life. Sometimes it's better if it's just another day, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not into all this Valentine's roses and flowers and chocolates. No, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's not a good day for me. It's just a normal day. And I just do my best to get on with it. That's all I can do. I can just move on and try even and just get on with it. But Valentine's Day, it's never going to be happy. The death of my parents happened then and just I'm so unfortunate.
And did your parents have a grave? Were their bodies recovered from the fire, Lisa?
Yeah. I'm not too sure whether my mother is my mother, if you know what I mean. Very, very badly burnt. And my father is him because he's sent to dental treatment. That's how he was identified. But still, even at that, when you say that, you can imagine the state you were in. So it's very sad. And sometimes I just try not to let my mind go there. Like, if you're listening to somebody, I only read the coroner's report 2 years ago, head charged beyond recognition, like that. If you let that set in too much, I do try to say, right, that's what happened, but she died. She's dead, but didn't feel it. But you just don't know, you know?
And is there a grave that you visit?
Yeah. They're buried out in St. Vincent's and Sutton.
So is my grandmother, yeah.
Yeah. And I always look over and I just see the water. And Phil Linnett is out there to ramble around.
And Gable.
It's nice, like, to go out there. All the headstones are flat, as you know, if you're familiar with it.
I know, yeah.
And it's just walking up. It's a lovely cemetery.
It's a lovely, peaceful place. It is, yeah.
It is a gorgeous, peaceful place. And thank God they're buried there. I'd always say that. Lovely. And you look over into the sea and all when you're walking back. And although my heart would be heavy, Trina, I do be like,
And do you go out there much? Do you find that helps you going out there?
Yeah, I do. I'd go out like at least once a month nowadays. But I used to go out every week. But you'd only be healed from one visit and you won't do another one if you get me. It takes a few days. Your heart would be heavy. I can't describe it. So now I kind of just go out and see them, you know, when I need to, you know.
Yeah. I remember going out there one time, Lisa, and getting so upset because I couldn't find the grave. And just thinking, and I had to leave before I could find. I just got confused and disorientated and couldn't find where I was going. It can be so upsetting, can't it?
It can, you see. And when I'm walking away, there's a million and one things flying through my brain. Like when I'm walking away, why did this happen? Why me? You can ask yourself all that, but bad things happen to people every day. Like I'm not the only one that a mammy and daddy died. Like when I wrote the book, I brought, as I said, the grief out onto the page. And I feel, like I just said, I was sitting there last night and I was like, God, first time I said I'm proud of myself in a long time, and I am. You have to recognise the grief as well.
The weight is almost lifted, is it, as a result of doing the book?
Oh, there's no doubt about that, Trina. Yeah, the book, it lifted part of me. It lifted my spirit and my soul that I could share these problems and tell people the way I felt, the way I was, how I grew up, how I survived. It wasn't easy. Let's face it, it just was not easy. Yeah. But I did it, and I'm still here to tell people it can be done. And I say in the book as well, at the end, I suppose the one word throughout my life, I suppose, since that tragic night till the hour that I'm living now, is just hope. Once you have hope, you have it. If you have no hope, if hope is gone, you're gone. But if the hope is there, you're going to be okay. You keep telling yourself, You're hopeful for the future. You're hopeful that you're going to get over this. You're hopeful you're going to be able to deal with whatever comes your way. And once you have that, you have everything.
Yeah. And time heals. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Time is a great healer. In my case, time has healed me, but I'll never, and I say this as well, and I mean it, I'm content now. I'll never be happy ever again, though. I don't like being too happy. That sounds bizarre, because when I'm too happy, then I go, oh, you know, I remember. I'm very content, and I'm a normal girl, and I'll never be very happy ever again. But I, as happy goes, I'm okay. You just learn to live with these things. Time does heal, but it's hard. You think back and all that's going on around me now. See, every year, Valentine, start up. Like, it can be tough. And once you learn to recognise it and go with it, and I suppose always have your faith. That's all I can say.
You've done this book, Stardust Baby, and a great mammy as well. You've a lot to be proud of. A lovely family there. And Craig, sure, you're the apple of his eye, I'm sure, as well. And yours. Yeah.
Me life.
Yeah. So, Lisa, take care. And, you know, I'll be thinking of you on the 14th of February.
And thank you, Trina.
Obviously, the bookshops are shut at the moment, but you can still buy it from
your... Eastons.com. Yeah. You can still buy it. You can go in and ask for the book and they'll bring it out to you.
Okay.
I signed 20 in the pavilions yesterday. So if you want to go down and buy the book, it will be signed if you're the first 20 people.
Okay.
Thanks very much for the interview. Thanks a lot.
Oh, no. Thanks so much for telling us your story. I actually didn't know your story before now, but maybe it was, I was telling you there just before we started, I was born exactly 1 week after the Stardust. So my 40th is the 21st of February. So mom always told me about, she remembers she was heavily pregnant hearing the sirens, because we're not too far from there. Like, we're over on the north side. It's crazy to think now. It was a week later I was born, and you were 17 months old at the time.
There you go. I was 17 months.
All right, Lisa, we'll let you go. Thanks so much for sharing your story. And
thank you. Brilliant.
Hopefully we'll talk again. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Trina.
Cheers. Bye. Bye-bye. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.